Grab your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 6. If you've got a Bible, you'll need it. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew is in the New Testament, first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to be in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. I'm going to read this, and then we'll pray and ask for God's help and break it up together. Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" This is the word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray now that by your spirit that you've sent to reveal truth to us, that you would do that. That you would reveal truth to us, that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, that you would ultimately point us to Jesus through this prayer, that you would help us to see the grace that you call us to in this prayer. It's in your name that we pray. It's through you, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. When Jesus starts his public ministry, we see this in Mark chapter 1. When he starts his public ministry, the first thing that Jesus speaks, the first thing that Jesus says is, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So the first thing Jesus says is to repent, to turn from your rebellion and turn in faith to God. And what we've seen, especially what we've seen in our last series, what we've talked about a lot this year, is that we're saved by grace through faith, and that the normal pattern in the life of a follower of Jesus is one of repentance and faith. One where we regularly see and identify by the Spirit ways that we are forgetting what Jesus has done or trying to live outside of what Jesus has done to earn a right standing with God, to earn our righteousness through our works and our efforts and what we do. We're regularly recognizing that, repenting of that, confessing that, and turning from sin and to Jesus. That's the regular pattern that we see as Jesus preaches and then as the apostles are faithful to take the gospel to the world like Jesus commanded them to do. Their message to both followers of Jesus and those who don't yet follow Jesus is one of repentance and faith. Repentance, turning from my sin, turning from my rebellion against God, turning from the ways that I forget the gospel, and turning to Jesus in faith. And what we talked about last week as we introduced this series is that it's not the amount of our faith that saves us, it's the object of our faith. And Jesus is the object of our faith. Ephesians 2 says that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ and his finished work, his life in our place, his death as our substitute, and his resurrection as our victory and as our confidence. We're saved by faith in that. And so the question, one of the questions that we're asking is, how do we increase our view of Jesus? So if we're saved by the object of our faith, Jesus, our faith is going to strengthen in direct proportion to how big Jesus is in our sight. Not that he's getting any bigger, but when our beliefs, what we see about Jesus comes closer and closer to the reality of who he is, our faith is going to grow and is going to increase. And so what we're asking is, what means of grace has God given for that to happen by the power of the Spirit? Means of grace that reinforce our faith. And so we're looking at seven means of grace that God has given to us so that our faith might strengthen, so that our faith might be built in who Jesus is. And so last week we looked at the Bible, at the Word of God as the primary means whereby God increases our faith. This week we're going to look at prayer. Next week we'll look at worship and then community and then service and then suffering and hope. So today we're going to look at prayer. Now, what is prayer? What is prayer? When you think of prayer, what comes to mind? Put very simply, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. We see in Genesis 1 that we were created for relationship with God, that the God who created us also created us to enjoy relationship with him, and prayer is part of our expression of that. Us being in communication, being in relationship with God is expressed through prayer. Now, in the Bible, we see a lot of different forms of prayer, a lot of different examples of ways to pray. We see in Scripture examples of people praying out loud and people praying silently. We see examples of individual prayer, one individual crying out to God, and then we see examples of corporate prayer, like all together, the people of God crying out to God through prayer. And we do that as a church. There's individual prayer, and then there's corporate prayer where we'll all pray together. There's prayer in Scripture through speaking. There's speaking conversationally with God. And then you also see that there's prayer through song. So when we sing, when we lift our voices like we just did and like we'll do after we look at God's word, we're actually praying that. We're praying as we singing or as we sing. You see examples of formal prayer and informal prayer. You see supplication as prayer, making requests to God, make your requests known to God. You see prayers of thanksgiving in Scripture, where we're thanking God for who he is or what he's done. You see prayers of intercession, where we're praying to God, we're speaking to God on behalf of another. We're bringing the needs or something of another person to God. God, would you grow their faith? Would you help them to see you? Would you convict them of sin? Would you encourage them with the gospel? You see prayers of praise. You see prayers of confession of sin. And it's easy, I think, for us to overcomplicate what prayer is. But at its core, let's remember, prayer is talking to God. God invites that kind of communication. That's not something that we just have decided to do on our own. God invites us to do that. And in fact, in the Bible, he commands us to pray to him. And in the Lord's Prayer, this text that we just read that's fairly widely known. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you've probably heard this or seen this on a coffee mug or on a sign or something like that. In the Lord's Prayer, that text we just read in Matthew 6, Jesus is actually inviting us through prayer to experience the same relationship with God that he experienced. It's a really profound thing that's going on that we're going to look at today. And that relationship is expressed primarily through prayer. That relationship that we're invited into by Jesus. And so in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus encourages us to pray. So that's my hope this morning. But I want to encourage you to pray. I want to be encouraged to pray. I think it would be easy to leave here with some new forms and some new models to follow as it relates to prayer, but not really being encouraged to pray. And how often do you hear a sermon or read a book and you leave just feeling guilty about not doing something that you know that you should probably be doing? My hope is today, by the Spirit, through the word, that we're encouraged to pray. For some of you, you would say, I have a vibrant prayer life, and I pray regularly. There's long blocks where I pray, and then throughout the day, I'm just in kind of constant communication with God. That's a very normal thing. I praise God for that, but we need to admit something. For a lot of us, maybe for most of us, prayer is really difficult. It seems weird to admit that. It seems weird to say, like, we have the ability to pray to the Creator God, and it's difficult? In some way or another, we all know that we should be praying. It's easy to live by the shoulds. I should be praying. But we don't. Or we don't do it often. A lot of times, God is an afterthought. You know, as you're about to eat, you're like, oh, yeah, God, thank you for this meal. And then, you know, you don't talk to him again until the next meal or the next meal that you remember to pray at, or you see a friend who's not eating and you feel guilty because you've already got fries in your mouth and you're like, oh, geez, these were evil fries, and now I'll bless these fries so that they're somehow miraculously healthy. So let's just ask the question, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? Look just at the beginning of verse 9 of Matthew 6. The beginning of verse 9, Jesus says, pray then like this. In Luke chapter 11, Luke gives us the same story, and he adds the fact that before Jesus says this, before Jesus gives the prayer, his disciples, his followers, actually ask Jesus in Luke 11, teach us to pray. They say, teacher, would you teach us to pray? And inherent in both of those statements, Jesus saying, pray then like this, one, he assumes that we actually are going to pray. It's not, hey, if you're a praying person or you're somebody who believes in this or you're somebody that this is easy for, do it. He says, no, pray then like this. And so him teaching us to pray, inherent in that is it's difficult. We're going to need to be taught to do that. And the disciples saying, teach us to pray, is them doing, I think, what a lot of us would do. This is difficult. Why is it so difficult? Is there something we're missing? Would you teach us to pray? It is difficult. I know that there are a lot of you in here that you've tried every different program, every different method of prayer. There's nothing wrong with methods or kind of structure to how to pray. They're really helpful in some instances, but when you rely on that as the answer, it typically doesn't last very long. So you're like, man, I've tried concentric circles, and I've tried this thing called Acts, which I thought was a book of the Bible, and then I learned it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and that works. And then, you know, you start to pray, and you're on adoration, and then you can't remember what comes next, or you fall asleep because you pray right before you go to bed. It's difficult. I think a lot of us, what's somewhere near the core of the question is just how much do I need to be praying? You know, it's difficult because I just want to know how much do I need to do. Is it 5 minutes a day? Is it 10 minutes? Is it an hour? Is it two? Is it three? Martin Luther would say that his normal pattern was to pray for 2 hours every morning. And on really busy days, he would pray for 3 hours. You know, it was just like really busy days. I know I'm going to need more help from the Lord to get through. We just want to know, like, how much do I need to be doing that? And I think that question is odd because we'll see Jesus invites us to come to God as a father. And you know what my kids don't do? They don't come to me in the morning. Mornings are crazy in my house. And they're not coming to me like, hey, Dad, can we? How much do we need to talk today? I got 5 minutes that I could probably give you. I'm going to be a little scatterbrained in the middle of it, but I'll give you 5 minutes. No, they come in and there's just constant communication throughout the day, right? I mean, just constant. Even if I'm totally ignoring them, they're constantly talking with me, engaging with me. They're not sitting there thinking, how much do I need to pray? And I think what Jesus is doing in this prayer is like showing us this should be a familial thing in the same way that a child would come to a father. Maybe for some of us, prayer is difficult because the honest question is, does it even matter? I mean, does it matter? We're big sovereignty of God people here. So if God is totally in control of absolutely everything, does it even matter to pray to him? I think beneath all of our common objections to prayer and the reasons that we would give as to why prayer is so difficult, one of the foundational problems is we don't understand the access that we have in prayer, and we don't understand the approach. I think we're looking at it wrong. Maybe our approach is off, and this is exactly what Jesus helps us with. What Jesus helps us with is our approach in prayer. And so we're primarily just going to focus on verse 9, just the first verse, just this first bit of how Jesus teaches us to pray. Now, remember as we get into this, Jesus says, pray like this, not pray this exact prayer. In the history of Christianity, there have been a lot of people, a lot of groups who have just said prayer is just, you just recite the Lord's Prayer all the time. Just recite that. And what Jesus actually says just before this in Matthew 6 is don't mindlessly repeat things in your prayer. Prayer is a conversation. When my kids come to me and they talk with me, they're not mindlessly just repeating like, hey, every day when I wake up, I come in, I say, hi, Dad, how was your day? Mine was great, good, we're done here, let's go. It's not this mindless repetition. It's conversational, and Jesus says, pray like this. It's a model for prayer, not one that we mindlessly repeat. What we see at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is a radically new approach to prayer. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Jesus shows us right there our approach in prayer, our Father. Because this is so familiar for a lot of us, this Lord's Prayer, it's just so easy to blow right past this. But he says, our Father. Jesus tells us, and this is profound, Jesus tells us, when you come to God, the creator God of this universe, come to him as your Father. Now for some, that's really easy. And for some, it's really difficult because what's true is we have a tendency to view God as Father through the lens that we see our own Father. And so if you grew up with a good relationship, a healthy relationship with your dad, coming to God as a father, there's not a huge barrier there. It's kind of like, that makes sense. I had a great dad, and I would assume that my heavenly father is an even better dad. For some, it's difficult. If you had a father who was distant, or you didn't have a relationship, or you didn't know who your dad was, it's difficult to view God as father, to refer to him as father. There's something in you that's like, no, I don't want to do that. What do you mean God tells me to come to him as father? That sounds terrible. I want to come to him in any other way. My hope is that you see God as a good father who invites you to communicate with him as a good father would. This is a radically new approach in prayer. This was unheard of at this time. for Jesus to say, when you pray, pray our Father. This is what got Jesus crucified eventually. The religious leaders were not comfortable with the relationship that he expressed between himself and God the Father. It was too close. It was too intimate. There's moments where he says like this, our Father, and you don't get to refer to God that way. And then he says, I and the Father are one. And they're like, okay, we're going to crucify you because you, though a man, make yourself out to be God. This is what eventually got Jesus crucified. What Jesus says is our Father. The word there is Abba. What Jesus is inviting us to do is to refer to God as Father in an intimate way. This would be the same thing as my kids coming to me and saying, Dad. Dad, making the request. There's respect there. It's easy to think Abba is just this kind of disrespectful, normal way to refer. No, there's Dad. There's still respect when my kids come to me as Dad because I'm their dad, they're not. But it's an intimate way. And this is not how scholars would say that this approach to God as Father is the fundamental difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Something shifts in how people approach and interact with God from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and scholars would say this is it. In the Old Testament, God's only referred to as Father 14 times, only 14 times. And most of those are in an impersonal way, not the personal way Jesus is talking about here. They were in kind of an impersonal way, referring primarily to the nation of Israel, referring to God as the Father of the nation of Israel. Not the intimate way. Jesus always referred to God in this way. When he prayed to God, when he talked with God, it was always as Father, and he invites us to do the same. And so God is saying, when you talk to me, when you come to me like you would a good father. If we don't understand God as Father, this invitation, and the access Jesus is giving us, if we don't understand God as Father, we'll never understand prayer the way that Jesus is talking about it here. I think this is one of the primary reasons it's so difficult, because we don't grasp what Jesus is talking about. What would approaching God, if you really thought about it, and you really believed at the core of your being that God was a good Father that you could come before, how would it change your prayer life? How would it change the frequency of your prayer? How would it change that interaction? Well, think about how kids approach their father. Like I told you, mornings are crazy. I mean, they're messy. They're insane. My kids are not the, I need to have a cup of coffee before I talk to dad, because I'm not even a kid before I've had coffee, right? They just burst right in, man. I mean, they just blow the door right open, jump up in the bed, put a knee in my neck. Like, that's how it is. They're coming in, and there's requests, and there's conversation, and I'm trying to wake up, but they come in. I'll tell you what my kids don't do. My kids don't sit up in the room and talk about what it would look like if they came down and talked to me. They're not sitting up in the room together doing a study on what it would look like if they actually did pray to me. Now, hear me, those things are okay. Studies on prayer. This is part of what we're doing this morning, right? Studies on prayer, engaging in that, like planning, how do I talk to God? Those are okay, but so often, and I'm saying that because it's in me. For some reason, it's so much easier for me to study and to think about intellectually what it would look like if I prayed than to actually pray. What would it look like? My kids, when they come and talk to me, it's familial. There's an intimate relationship. Dad. They're not coming to me and saying, oh, strong and mighty dad, ruler of the Murphy household, giver of all good things and food. Please don't hear me. There's nothing wrong, but I think we'll like pour out these phrases to God and we're not, it's not an intimate familial thing. We're doing exactly what he talked about in Matthew 6, where he says, but that's what the religious leaders do. They pray not to God, they pray to everybody else so that everybody will be impressed by what they're able to say. Don't do that. Pray to God and pray to him as a father. We pray to him, we come to him consistently, persistently, knocking down the door regularly with confidence that he's your father and he's going to take care of you. Look at the second part of Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven. It's so profound what Jesus is doing, and it's so easy for us to just blow right by this. Our Father in heaven. There's two things that I want my kids to know about me. Well, there's more than that, but there's two primary things. I want them to know that I love them. That's what I want them to know. Like, I want them, when they're an adult, to be like, to just think, man, my dad wasn't perfect, but he loved me. I want them to know that I love them, that I'm for them, that I cherish them, that I want relationship with them, because that's what a good father does. But I also want them to know that I'll protect them. I want them to know that I'm strong for them, that I'm for them, and that I can actually provide for them. I'm strong enough to care for them, and we need to understand the same thing about God. This is what Jesus is trying to help us get, our Father in heaven. There's two aspects of a good father. He's loving and he's strong. And that's what Jesus is trying to get. You see both of these at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus is inviting us to experience both in our relationship with God. He's in heaven. He's ruling over all. He's mighty. He's powerful. He holds all things together. He's the creator God of the entire universe who spoke it all into existence. He is infinitely more powerful than our ability to even begin to comprehend. But he's not just in heaven. He's our Father. He's near. And we need to see both in prayer. He's powerful. He's near and he's intimate. He wants a relationship. We need to see both. But what typically happens is we'll drift towards one or the other of those. We'll have a preference towards one or the other. It'll be easier for us to see God as more mighty or as more loving. If we only see God as strong and powerful and mighty, but we don't see him as loving, we don't see him as a father, you're going to end up seeing him as a distant deity who has a whole lot of power but just doesn't care enough to pay attention to you. He doesn't care. There's 7 billion people on the planet. What makes you think he's going to pay attention to you? He's mighty. He's powerful. He holds it all together. He just doesn't care enough about you to do anything about it. If you only see him as powerful but not as our father, your father, you'll struggle there, and so prayer won't come naturally. If you only see God as my Father, our Father, close, near, intimate, loving, but not powerful, you'll know he loves you, but you won't believe he has the power to actually answer you. So you'll struggle with prayer because he's loving and he's near and he's intimate and he wants a relationship, but he just can't do anything. His response to you in prayer is, I wish it wasn't that way also. I wish that things were different also. But what Jesus says, how he teaches us to pray, the invitation he gives us is into the same relationship that Jesus experiences. Our Father in heaven. Our Father, he's near, he's loving. He was present with Jesus, and he also is in heaven. He's powerful, he's mighty, he can actually do something. Can we really do this, though? It sounds good. I mean, this is one of those things that sounds good. Oh, our Father, if I could just view him as my Father and powerful. But there's something in us that's like, that's not okay. That's not okay. We shouldn't be able to do that. We struggle with that because there's something in us rightly that views some sort of barrier. There's some sort of blockage. Like you may be saying, man, I try to pray, but there's this like ceiling that I just keep coming against. I can't even get out the words, my Father. You're right. We shouldn't be able to do this. The Creator God of the universe, we're created in his image for relationship with him. And the truth of all of humanity since the first man, Adam, is that we've rebelled against that image and that created purpose. We've rebelled against that. We consistently, through action and through our words and thoughts, turn our back on that God. And seriously, we're supposed to turn around and then refer to him as Father? You're right, it doesn't make sense. The God who created us for relationship with him, and we've ignored and rejected that relationship, sinned against him in word, deed, thought, action. Of course we shouldn't be able to do this. And yet, Jesus invites us to refer to God and to experience relationship with God in the same way that he did. Father, in heaven. How? What changed? This is not, it's not like this in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel, they didn't get to refer to God in this way. They couldn't at any time just say, Father in heaven. They could not do that. They had to go to the temple. They had to make a series of sacrifices to cover their sins. And then it was the priest who actually took these requests before God. They could not engage with God in this way. This is why it is so radically different what both Jesus is doing and inviting us into. What has changed? Paul tells us in Galatians 4. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God, the Father, sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, because of what Jesus has done, you're in the family of God. Because of that, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, God the Spirit, into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. Same thing Jesus tells us to pray. Our Father, Abba, Dad. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What Paul helps us see is what has changed is that Jesus has paved the way for us to refer to God in this radically new way, to refer to him as a father. The reason we feel like that's not okay is because it's not okay if we're not doing it through Jesus, in the name of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done. Jesus came, lived as a man, God did, lived as a man under the law. He's the only person who has perfectly upheld the law. What so many of us try to do with every ounce of our being but can never do, Jesus did perfectly, and then he went to the cross and took the penalty that our failure to obey the law brings on us. And that's what Paul's saying. This is what's changed. Jesus did what you could never do, went to the cross that you should have gone to, and by faith in that, by grace through faith in what Jesus has done, he has ripped open the curtain, ripped open the barrier that exists between us and God. That barrier that you feel between you and God, at the moment Christ dies on the cross, the temple curtain is ripped in two. And the temple curtain was representative of a barrier that rightly existed between man and God because of our sin. And what Jesus did on the cross from the top to the bottom is rip that open. And now he says, come to me. And through me, the Spirit of adoption, I can go to God, not as some distant deity who I just hope listens to me. I hope that my request, my need, I hope that it's priority level one. And I think there's some of them that are, and maybe he'll listen to me. Jesus says, no, I've taken down that barrier. I've borne the curse that your failure brings. And by faith in what I've done, I've taken you out of the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light. Not as a slave, but as a beloved child. And beloved children, children who know that they're loved by their father, you can't keep them away from their dad. I mean, you just can't do it. We've got a door with a lock. Yeah, but we can't do it. No, that's my dad. He loves me. And I'm an earthly father. I'm a sinful father. I fail my kids. God the Father never will. And through Jesus, that barrier is obliterated. Only Jesus deserves that kind of relationship. The reason only Jesus, up until this point, is referring to God in this way is because only Jesus deserves to refer to God in this way. And it's only because of his life and his death in our place that we can have this kind of relationship. The relationship that was lost by Adam and Eve because of their rebellion, the fracturing of perfect creation, perfect relationship with God. That relationship that was fractured because of rebellion is restored because of the faithfulness of the second Adam, the true Adam, Jesus Christ, who did what Adam failed to do, perfectly obey, perfectly love, perfectly glorify God. And he did it in our place. And so our approach in prayer is we pray to God the Father, through God the Son, by the power of God the Spirit. That's how we pray. If we're praying to God the Father and we're not doing it through what Jesus has done, how dare we pray that? And there are some of you in here this morning that I love you, but I need to tell you the truth. You ought not pray to God as Father because you're not doing it through Jesus. You've never actually confessed your rebellion. You've never believed that Jesus bore the punishment for your rebellion. You've never confessed your sin and cried out in faith, Jesus, save. And if you've not cried out in faith, Jesus, save, you have no right to go before God as Father. But the good news of the gospel is there's not a list that we're going to give so that you can approach God as Father. There's nothing that you need to do. There's no rituals you need to go through, no sacrifice you need to make. It's only faith. Faith, Jesus, I believe. I believe you've paved the way for me to refer to God as Father. And the incredible thing is we do this through the power of the Spirit. How often have you in prayer come before God, maybe really believing he's my Father and he's a good Father, and I have no clue what to say? In this situation, I just don't have words. I don't have words. I don't even know how to communicate what I'm feeling. I don't even know what to pray. And there are often, regularly, there are times that my prayers are, Father God, You know, it's like all that I can get out is a really embarrassing guttural noise. Romans 8:26 says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Do you know how encouraging it is to my soul to know that in those moments when I don't know what to pray, there's a moment like this. I have a good friend who lost their 2-year-old child, and I found myself praying and just thinking, God, I don't even know what to pray. And so it's just God, it's just a big sigh. You know what the Spirit does? It's like, hang on, I'll make sense of that to God. That's a groaning too deep for words. I've got it. And he takes it and he intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. Church, God wants to reinforce your faith as you pray to him. But we pray to him as Father, Father in heaven. And we pray confidently. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Confidently. And how impressive we are as sons and daughters, how well we've got it together, how much we did or didn't read the Bible that week, how kind we were to other people, how much we avoided sin. No. Confidence, draw near to the throne of grace through faith in what Jesus has done. This is why we're doing this series. We need a really big view of the object of our faith because it's through him that we have this access. And so we're going to struggle with this access if our view of Jesus isn't really big. But Jesus invites us through prayer to come to God as Father. How would you, viewing God as Father, really approaching him like a good father, change prayer for you? He's inviting you to come to him, to talk to him, to pour out your heart to him, to thank him, to express your doubts to him. And so we want to do that right now. The band's going to come up right now, and I just think it would be such a huge whiff if we talked about prayer and then didn't do it, right? If we just talked about what prayer would look like and then we didn't do it. And so in a moment, we're going to pray individually, where you are, silently, just pray to God, talk to God as a father. For some of you, that's going to be easy. It's going to be natural because you have a regular habit of talking to God as a father. For some of you, it's going to be difficult. You may not have this regular habit. And for some reason, with our relationship with God, when talking feels awkward, we bail, like it shouldn't feel awkward. That's how relationships start. When I first started dating my wife, I am so grateful to God that those conversations aren't recorded because they were awkward and they were weird and I didn't know how to communicate how I was feeling or how much of what I was feeling to communicate because I didn't want to scare her away. Like, it's awkward. That's okay. Lean into that. It's going to be awkward. You know how I learned how to engage with her? I learned what she was like, and we just regularly communicated together. That's how prayer is as well. So for some of you, this is going to be difficult. For some of you, this may be the first time you've ever prayed to God, or you've ever prayed to God as Father. So it's going to be hard. That's okay. He's inviting you to lean in. We don't earn his favor through how well we pray to him. We pray to him because we have his favor. He's our Father. We don't earn our sonship or our daughtership, our adoption, through how well we talk to him. It's ours, and so out of that, we talk to him. Some of you may feel uneasy, may feel awkward. You might be angry. Just talk with God about whatever that is, whatever you're feeling. God, it's really hard for me to talk to you as Father. I don't know what that is, or there's this barrier. I don't know what that is. Some of your prayer is going to be, I want to approach you as Father. I want to, for the first time today, maybe you've experienced conviction of sin. You've said, I want that kind of relationship. I want to approach God as Father. The invitation to you this morning from Jesus is going to be, repent and believe. Confess your sin and confess faith in Jesus. Jesus, I believe you lived perfectly. You died in my place. And by faith in that, I'm somehow brought into this family of God. And so I'm going to respond to God as Father. If you're ready to repent and follow Jesus this morning, that's your first prayer. God, I repent. There's going to be prayers that will cycle on the screen behind me as we pray. And we just found that if you're struggling with the words to pray or don't know, maybe these can fuel thoughts and words for you as you consider how to respond to God in prayer. Use the Lord's Prayer as a model. If you don't know what to pray, Jesus is going to say, hey, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. God, I want your name to be glorified, to be made much of in my life and in the lives of my family, my community group, my church, whatever that is. Go to the Psalms. The Psalms are a great place to go if you don't know what to pray, and just pray through those. We're going to actually do that right now, though. We're going to pray. Wherever you are, whatever God's stirring up in your heart, just talk to him as a Father. If you don't know what to pray, ask the Spirit to help you. His promises. You don't know what to pray? Ask. Ask. So we'll do that now for a few minutes, and then I'll lead us through response. Where you are, just cry out to your Father.